Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
For the union labor.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right, please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, if the Supreme Court does not stop district judges from using nationwide injunctions that, let's face it, usurp the executive separated powers, will Trump use his constitutional executive check that's born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings? Also, while the Musk-Trump feud helps neither, has it perhaps hurt Musk even more? Also, former Obama senior advisor Rahm Emanuel spanks his fellow Democrats for becoming a quote-unquote party of punks by quote-unquote fretting over identity politics. So you got to wonder, will they evolve or continue regressing? You know, Democrats do thrive on being perpetually offended to justify being indefinitely outraged. You got to wonder if that's perhaps why their poll numbers are lower than Diddy's. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, all front of the show, one of my semi-regulars, Tom Schott, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide. We're talking the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. He's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Hell, he was on Capitol Hill just some weeks ago. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thank you.
Good to have you. Good to have you as always. Listen, before we get any further, I want to hear this clip from none other than Rahm Emanuel. It seems to say so much, and I'm wondering what you might have to say on this as well. This is, I'll tell you what, my friend James, this is going to be clip 5. Have a listen to Rahm Emanuel.
Now, to the core question, why do Democrats have a problem? Because we're punks. And we talk like, not only talk like punks, we talk down to people. We get caught up in a set of issues that aren't relevant. Think about all this about transgender and sports, etc. This is crazy. As I said, in education, we have the worst reading scores and math scores in 30 years. And we're arguing about bathrooms and locker rooms and not the classroom.
Now, it almost seems to me as if he's jockeying to eventually become the Democrats' next Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, at the time he rose, appreciated the centrist's resonance with the American people. And he had the ability to persuade a preponderance of his party to get on board with his overall direction if they wanted to stop losing elections, because they had lost 3 presidential elections in a row, I believe, when he came along. And he took them down the right path. However, if I remember correctly, the left at the time, while they were more harshly left-leaning than was Bill Clinton, they were nowhere near as stratospherically far left as the party we see today. So I don't know that Rahm Emanuel will have as much success convincing today's Democrats to move to the center that we saw with Bill Clinton during his time. Or am I seeing too much into this? Tom Schatz.
I think you have a good point. I also think that Rahm Emanuel just gave the Republicans great language for an ad that they can run.
Oh, my God. They should be sued for political. The RNC should be sued for political malpractice if we don't hear that clip over and over and over. I will personally take an Uber to the RNC headquarters and slap around those folks. I mean, they'll have to drag me out in cuffs for having inflicted. I'm just kidding. But, hey, guys, if you're listening out there, and I know a lot of you are, you are going to be douchebags in the eyes of so many if you do not use this clip over and over and over and over again. And you know who else should be considered imbecilic? Democrats for not listening, because he's giving advice that could actually help resurrect the party. Because identity politics have proven ridiculous because they are the embodiment of the very racism in whose name their legitimacy is proffered. Where am I mistaken?
Well, true. And look, people do not have issues with whoever people want to be with. I mean, I think that's kind of the generalized approach, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's being pushed on everyone and pushed on kids and pushed into schools has made it more of an issue than it otherwise would have been, right? Because it's accepted. You can marry anybody you want. Same sex, fine. You know, honestly, who cares? But it's the use of it in politics that has created the friction and taken away from what might be other issues that the Democrats should focus on.
Exactly. And the real problem is that there's this massive disconnect between their agenda and the stated goals in whose name that agenda is proffered. Therein lies that we all want mom, apple pie, and togetherness. Here's our agenda to achieve it. If you oppose our agenda, that means you're against mom, apple pie, and togetherness. No, schmuck. You've just failed to show that your agenda has the necessary properties to achieve the goals in whose name it's been proffered. And that's the problem we have right now. Like, for instance, we can all be pro-trans community. Fine. Like you said, who cares? Be whomever you feel naturally being. But don't use that as an excuse to insist that biological males therefore now have the right to rival naturally born females in competitive sports. There's no linkage between the two. You know, the idea of saying that because we all universally, anybody with an IQ above a phlegm-filled spit bucket anyway, because most of us understand that science being what it is, biological males always have or usually have a physiological advantage over naturally born females in most competitive sports. And to shame people as being transphobic just because they can't help but to remain aware of that reality when objecting to having biological males compete against naturally born females is a nonsensical posture. And I think that's part of what Rahm Emanuel is talking about. What say you?
That's true. That's absolutely true. And interestingly, it's such a small percentage. It occurs so infrequently, but it's such big news that, was it a dozen or so maybe races around the country or competition around the country? But it's the elevation of that to like the most important issue that Democrats or the left can talk about that has made it such a problem for Democrats in general. If they're talking about education, why don't they agree that the Department of Education has proven to be a complete failure and move that money back to the states? Then they would say, yeah, we actually think this makes sense because it does. And that's what we should be talking about. But that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, because Trump made a good point. He said, we spend more dollars per pupil than any other nation on the planet, yet we're number 40 when looking at the ranking of academic achievement. And when you see that kind of a disconnect, it's hardly anti-teacher or anti-student or anti-family to say we've got to start better managing the money that we invest, and we need to start attaching to these funds performance standards for these dollars to continue And maybe the idea of just giving these dollars to the states to handle things on their own is the best approach. And therefore, by default, you wind up letting state legislatures and city legislatures and small town legislatures start having a more customized impact on the needs of the children in their own populations. Isn't that fair to say, Tom Schatz?
Well, if you're taking unions and bureaucrats ahead of students and parents, you don't like the idea of getting rid of that money in Washington and sending it back to the localities and states.
Yeah, that's the impediment, but not the justification. 10-4 on that. Actually, pal, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but new research offers hope. A recent clinical trial shows that a once-daily anti-inflammatory medication may help reduce dangerous plaque in the arteries, offering new options for people living with heart disease. Cardiologist and program director at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Matthew Budoff, explains how this breakthrough could change cardiovascular care.
We found that low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligrams, can help reduce coronary plaque volume and inflammation in patients with heart disease. This may offer a new way to prevent future heart attacks or strokes by targeting a root cause, inflammation.
These findings build on prior research showing low-dose colchicine's role in lowering cardiovascular risk in high-risk patients, and it could be a vital part of your doctor's care plan.
When combined with other standard treatments, low-dose colchicine offers another tool to help patients live longer, healthier lives.
Learn more at CVDinflammation.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
not terribly surprising. He's a hugely intelligent man with a lot of achievements, but he really is a giant baby. I remember Donald Trump had a sort of paternal relationship with him and said at one point, he said, I don't want to be rude, but he is a bit of a child. And he's acting like a child right now, having a tantrum and lashing out in the nastiest way he possibly can and saying things that he can never undo. And I feel like what really happened was that Daddy, Donald Trump, took sides in an argument he was having with Scott Bessent, which apparently got very willing. Elon Musk shoved Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary. There was screaming and shouting and swearing outside the Oval Office, right outside Susie Wiles' office.
Right.
And after that, obviously, Donald Trump had to choose sides, and he chose Scott Bessent's side. And I think that's Elon has just been on a long jag. And now that he's left the White House, I think he's got a bit of PTSD, and he's just finding any which way to get back.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, every year is Alan Nathan. This is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. We're listening to an exchange on the Will Cain Show on Fox News, more specifically Miranda Devine, a New York Post columnist, a phenomenal writer, Aussie, I believe. Either Aussie or New Zealand? I forgot which one. Anyway, she's talking about Elon Musk and how he can be a bit childish, especially as it involves this issue between him and Trump, and that it's emblematic of just Musk throwing a tantrum because Trump sided with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent when it came to a particular economic dispute. And it does appear as if Trump is comporting himself in a far more adult fashion than is Elon Musk. Now, we understand that the two camps have been talking, and there is supposed to be some a way to hammer out some of the differences between them, or at least dial down the temperature that it's currently reached. But it does appear as if Musk may have just traveled that bridge too far, because while this feud helps neither, it really has hurt Musk more, because once Musk made the assertion that Trump was part of the Epstein files, it just became non-believable, because if that were truly the case, then trust me, the Biden administration would have pushed that out the door a long time ago, and that would have been a part of the 2024 presidential election. But there's no there, and this is where I personally think Musk undercut himself, because I don't know that he can ever take that back successfully. Tom Schatz joins us right now, sticking around, and we appreciate that. President of Citizens Against Government Waste. You've seen his editorials in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Tom, appreciate you sticking around. Am I seeing too much into this, or do I have it about right? It seems to me that he overshot when he came out with that particular allegation. Tom Schatz.
Well, he was already losing the fight in the beginning, because members of Congress said, fine, you know, he can say what he wants, but we're going to go ahead with this bill because we understand it's important to the president, who is the president. And it's kind of funny because everybody was talking initially, oh, Elon's really the president. Nobody really ever thought that, except maybe some publications that thought they were making news. And so now that's certainly been proven. So Congress is going to move forward with the bill. Everybody knows it's not perfect, but Elon doesn't understand that reconciliation is not going to provide all of the cuts that he has proposed. That goes through appropriations. This is not like running a business. We'd like the government to be more efficient and more like a business, but it takes time, and it's a different set of steps to get to the point where they can, quote-unquote, eliminate things.
Well, you know? Yeah, the reconciliation bill, granted, they can't have all the cuts, but rescissions, which are treated like reconciliation bills in that they don't have to pass muster with a Senate a filibuster any more than a reconciliation package would. And right now we've got $9.4 billion that apparently is expected to land on Speaker Johnson's desk from Trump. Basically, they want these rescissions made, and there's more to come. It would seem to me that that reality should propitiate the otherwise frayed nerves of Elon Musk. But all that notwithstanding, am I not correct when saying that Musk really went too far with the assertion about Trump being a part of the Epstein files? Because anybody with any cerebral dexterity whatsoever would understand that if that were true, then there's no way that would not have been leaked out of the Biden administration, Tom.
Correct. And it turns out that Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago because Epstein was hitting on one of his friend's teenage daughters. So he got rid of Epstein. Yeah. So I saw that in the news this morning. So not that I pay attention, but it made sense. So they, yes, knew each other because they were in New York and they were wealthy business men. And so everybody knows everybody in New York for that reason. So he had no relationship. He wasn't allegedly on a plane, although it turned out, you know, the allegations against Bill Clinton didn't turn up much either. So there's no relationship that would have created any kind of controversy. And yes, it went a little overboard, to say the least, and showed his peak. Miranda Devine called it something else. But peak, as you know, is a fit. He was having a fit, perhaps.
Yeah, like, well, we also understand that this feud has brought about a declination of his wealth. I mean, his net worth plummeted by $34 billion amid this escalating clash with Trump. Now, you know, he's got plenty of billions to spare, and he can bounce back real fast. When you have $200 to $300 billion, you know that kind of money allows you to enter any number of enterprises you want to generate more revenue. But that's still a whole lot of cheese to drop, and it seemed to be a very costly error. It would seem to behoove both men to mend the fences, but it would help Musk a lot more than Trump, because this really does seem to have hurt him more than the president, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, President Trump has a lot more to do than worry about what Elon Musk says. In fact, he said, yeah, it's okay that he doesn't like me or had, you know, left or whatever. That's fine. But, you know, he's busy. He's moving on to other things. So he was very useful. He did not, by the way, make or break the Republican majority. That happened for a lot of other reasons. Yes, he contributed money. But President Trump would have been elected anyway against Kamala Harris, with or without Musk's support. So as I said, it was helpful. The idea that he's going to support Democrats and they're going to be working with him is absurd.
No, that's not going to happen. Not only that, don't forget, just as the good doesn't erase the bad, nor does the bad erase the good, these trip-ups of Musk do not take anything away from the phenomenal revelations that he stewarded or piloted, I should say, to the American people vis-a-vis the waste, fraud, and abuse of the federal government. I mean, he did us all a marvelous service. So, yeah, just as the good doesn't erase the bad, nor, however, does the bad erase the good. These recent temper tantrums take nothing away from the fact that but for Musk having unveiled so much as he has, the American people would be so much more in the dark than we are currently. Isn't that fair to say?
Well, I would say that he gave it a lot more sunlight. A lot of the things that he found are things that have been previously discussed. I'll give one quick example. Too many software licenses in federal agencies, Citizens Against Government Waste was talking about that 10 years ago, but nobody paid attention. So I give him a lot of credit for drawing those things out to the public in this administration, where the president has talked a lot about waste, fraud, and abuse, and that's great. So we don't.
Yeah, but when he discovered millions of people regarded by the Social Security administration as being over 120 years old, but still receiving active Social Security payments, those kinds of revelations, I think, were uniquely distinct unto themselves. Would you not agree?
Oh, I agree. I agree. He found a lot of great stuff, and the rescissions bill includes a lot of those things. So he has had an influence on the outcome of what he said.
Tom Schatz, always a pleasure. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
Here in the Great Hall of Shells at the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum and Aquarium, you can see behind me plenty of species that we mentioned, right? So we wanted to find a way to celebrate, if you will, and invite everybody to come celebrate with us wherever you may be. Of course, we want you here. But different things you can do is visit inside here and learn a little bit about the shells, and then go out onto the beach and pick them yourselves and then bring them home as a souvenir. Because we are the seashell capital of the world, we wanted to coincide with the first day of summer as well, because what better way to celebrate, right? So you're welcome. There's plenty of things to do, but we always want to see you here. Even more fun to do it around this time of year.
Here on the islands, there is so much to do, not just here, but also on our Wild Mile, which incorporates so much of our outdoor space, the birds and animals and species that you can find on San Juan Captiva Island. And then we invite you to go on out to the beach, as Miriam mentioned.
Head to visitfortmyers.com. You can get some inspiration, see some photos, and even itineraries there.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. If you're Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. Well, if the Supreme Court does not stop district judges from using nationwide injunctions that, let's face it, usurp the executive's separated powers, will Trump use his constitutional executive check against them? This thing that's born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings. This is done by deliberate design, courtesy of our founding fathers. They basically took advice from the man who brought about the concept of three branches of government, Baron Montesquieu. He made it abundantly clear you can never let the judiciary co-opt the powers of the executive. Otherwise, you've got a tyrannical force. So being ever mindful of that, the founding fathers deliberately ensured that the judiciary would never have the power to enforce its own rulings. And out of that, we have the executive's check on the judiciary. How does it check the judiciary? By noncompliance. It says, look, sorry, you've gone too far here. You know, you get to have final say over the constitutionality of law, including constitutional law, fine. But when it comes to separation of powers arguments, well, then you're just another litigant. That's all you are. You're just another litigant. Because the Supreme Court cannot unilaterally determine that under the guise of the trappings of officialdom, it has the right to unilaterally usurp the separated powers of the executive just by virtue of being any part of the judiciary, including the Supreme Court. Can't do it. Otherwise, by such a measure, the Supreme Court or any part of the judiciary could potentially rule that it has the right to determine military operations, not the president. It has the right to initiate law, not Congress. These things are untenable. They cannot happen. And we have had in the past presidents who have acted accordingly, very mindful of that dynamic, that they do have this check on the judiciary, and it is one born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings. And that inability was deliberately made a part of the Constitution so as to ensure that all of us would be protected from a potentially rogue judiciary. And that is precisely what Trump will have to consider unless the Supreme Court starts dialing back the ability of these district courts to go ahead and unilaterally usurp the separated power of the president, all under the cartoonish claim and series of awkward word association bridges that somehow the judiciary or that component of the judiciary is just protecting the Constitution itself. It's almost as if they're saying, in the name of the Constitution, we get to violate it. No. Each branch has certain absolute powers beyond the reach of the other two. That's the only reason why they have leverage ability to enforce their own respective checks and reciprocal checks. Now, I'll prove it to you, because granted, the president is not a king. So just because he can check the judiciary doesn't mean that's the end of the story. The House, if it disagrees, can go ahead and impeach him if they find that he's the rogue one, that he has inappropriately interfered with otherwise legitimate judicial review. And then they can refer it to the Senate for an expulsion trial. But again, if the Senate fails to stop the president because it doesn't have the two-thirds votes necessary to do it, well, then by default, the president will have won that separation of powers argument, and his decision shall stand. And it will have been legitimately realized because it will have been constitutionally facilitated. This is not a constitutional crisis. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a constitutional remedy. Anyway, I didn't mean to get too lost in that. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing Dennis Neal, award-winning journalist, media strategist, former CNBC and Fox Business anchor. He's also host of the highly praised program entitled What's Bugging Me? It's a podcast hosted by the Ricochet Network. He's also author of the highly praised work entitled The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. And he's asking the question with a lot of folks, can these two guys make up? Dennis, good to have you on board. How are you today?
It's great to talk to you. Thanks for the opportunity. I have just been nothing but stunned and amazed for the past 24 hours or more. I'm just shocked that it's come to this. It's what the media were waiting for and praying for and are now celebrating. And I keep waiting to kind of learn that a little bit of this is diversion and is WWE. What do you think?
I'm thinking that this would have been the perfect strategy for these two guys to hammer out as a way to ensure that, number one, they completely eviscerate the claim that Elon was always the president behind the president, because clearly this episode shows that that's not the case. Also, that Elon Musk was getting dollars out of his association with the president, because Trump explained to everybody, hey, I told Elon he can't have these EV subsidies, For the most part, most Americans really don't want these cars, at least at this point. They don't want to be force-fed electric vehicles at this time, and Elon's upset about not getting his way. So two birds were killed with the same vitriolic stone, if you will, or the same stone, same feud stone, if you will. Number one, we see that Elon Musk is not benefiting financially, and number two, we see that he's also not the second president. But here's the reality. I think Musk went a little too far when he claimed that Trump was going to be part of the Epstein file and that the truth was going to come out. That's provably nonsensical, because if that were truly the case, then the Biden administration would have put that out there a long time ago, and it would have been very much a part of the 2024 election. And I think that's provably the case. So I think Democrats look nonsensical trying to embrace Elon Musk right now just because he momentarily is against a bill that they also don't like, but is, oh, by the way, against it for solely different purposes. The Democrats think too much money's being taken, and Elon Musk thinks, no, not enough money's being cut. Where am I wrong?
Now, so a couple of things. First, just understand, when Elon put up that Epstein list tweet, that's when I began to think, wait a minute, this has to be staged. This has to be a bit, because that's so beyond the pale. That's so over the line. How dare you? That's just wrong. Be less of a jerk, you know? And who knows, maybe they're kind of in on it. It is creating this huge diversion. Do you realize that, I think just yesterday, Trump issued this new no-travel order on some, I think, Muslim-oriented nations, just like he did in his first term, which led, in the first term, to nationwide protests and pearl-clutching and screams of agony. It's discriminatory against Muslims. Where are the protesters now? They're sitting home eating popcorn watching this fight on social media.
But you know what, though? If that come, and I take your point, yeah, maybe it is a grand distraction, and its efficacy is, you know, has been realized unambiguously so. But put all that aside, the few nations that he has put a ban on when it comes to travel constitute a minuscule portion of all the Muslim majority countries on the planet. There's like 57 of them, for God's sake. There's 57 Muslim majority countries, and a few of the countries are the ones that he's hit with a ban. I think people understand that. The ban happens to be against countries that just happen to be Muslim. It doesn't exist because they're Muslim. The ban exists because of bad. It's like saying, how dare you be aggressive with China? Because after all, the Chinese in this country constitute a minority. What are you kidding me? Just because China is comprised of people who in this country would constitute a minority, we're not allowed to defend ourselves against a tyrannical force at a tyrannical government?
But my bigger point is that where are the protesters on that? They're distracted. I think that Trump has been doing so many things, and he's distracting them. He'll give the critics red meat, like, oh, here, I'm going to accept a $400 million jet. Thank you, Qatar. And suddenly they're talking all about that and chasing their tails in a circle, but they're not, meanwhile, opposing the big, beautiful bill in any substantial way. Their protests against the cuts. It's so funny, you've got Swalwell, the Hong Kong banger, coming out and siding with Elon when Elon is in favor of more cuts, when the Democrats have been paying people to come out and protest any cuts. So Elon and Trump have managed to twist the Democrats into a pretzel. They just don't even know what way to turn. They want to oppose anything and everything, but sometimes they're, opposing themselves.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But looking at the feud, obviously it's been weighed in on by a number of folks. And not the least of which is Miranda Devine. She was recently on the Will Cain Show. This is what she had to say. Great New York Post columnist, originates, I think, from Australia. Part of me seems to think New Zealand, but I'm going to stick with Australia. But she's a great columnist and quite an erudite thinker. Clip 6, James, if you please.
Look, it's not terribly surprising. He's a hugely intelligent man with a lot of achievements, but he really is a giant baby. I remember Donald Trump had a sort of paternal relationship with him and said at one point, he said, I don't want to be rude, but he is a bit of a child. And he's acting like a child right now, having a tantrum and lashing out in the nastiest way he possibly can and saying things that he can never undo. And I feel like what really happened was that Daddy, Donald Trump, took sides in an argument he was having with Scott Bessent, which apparently got very willing. Elon Musk shoved Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary. There was screaming and shouting and swearing outside the Oval Office, right outside Susie Wiles' office.
Right.
And after that, obviously, Donald Trump had to choose sides, and he chose Scott Bessent's side. And I think that's Elon has just been on a long jag. And now that he's left the White House, I think he's got a bit of PTSD, and he's just finding any which way to get back.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit AARP.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's AARP.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan from Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, covering as much as we can, if the Supreme Court does not stop district judges from using nationwide injunctions, these injunctions, of course, that usurp the executive's separated powers, what should Trump do? Should he perhaps use his constitutional executive check that's born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings? He might have to. Also, while the Musk-Trump feud helps neither of these guys, has it perhaps hurt Musk even more? I mean, this guy came out and said, oh, well, you're going to find out more about Trump because of the Epstein files. That seemed like a bridge too far. And a lot of Republicans are saying, oh, that's just off the mark, off the color. It's over the line. Forget about all the indignation part of it. As an intellectual exercise, it makes no sense, because if Trump truly was a part of the Epstein files in any fashion that shows culpability for any criminal behavior, then trust me, the Biden administration would have put that stuff out a long time ago, and it would have very much been a part of the 2024 election. You can bet your sweet tabatucci, there's no way that would not have been a part. So just as an intellectual exercise, it's nonsensical to the core. And I really do hope these guys mend fences, because otherwise they were a great team. Also, former Obama senior advisor Rahm Emanuel spanks his fellow Democrats for becoming a quote-unquote party of punks. How? By, quote, fretting over identity politics, unquote. So you got to wonder, will they evolve or perhaps continue regressing? Now, what I want to do is to jump all over this these concerns over the district courts. You got like 670-some-odd district judges who, with this power of inflicting national injunctions, by default have visited upon themselves the authority to interfere with all things having to do with presidential powers, as long as they first remember to put together some crazy word association bridge that connects whatever policy they don't like to something that somehow is a violation of the Constitution. And guess what? There are certain areas where they just have no say, like foreign policy and things like that. I'll give you an example. The Supreme Court and Congress cannot tell the president whom he can nominate for the Supreme Court. And the president and the Supreme Court cannot tell the Senate whom they can confirm once that nomination is received, or how they can handle it. And then finally, neither the president nor the Congress can dictate to the Supreme Court or any court how they should rule once they are put on that court. These are separation of powers. But neither can say in the name of their respective authority that they have the right to usurp the authority of another. So yes, the judiciary has final say over how to interpret a law, but it does not have final say over whether or not it gets to usurp the separated power of another branch. At that point, it becomes just another litigant in that battle. And yet, we have people who are very happy to go ahead and forget that there is a limit to what the Supreme Court or any court can do, and that limit is one born out of a check that can be placed upon any of them if they go beyond their jurisdiction, not just by a fellow higher court, an appellate or even the Supreme Court, but by the executive. Now, the Congress can also get involved. They can go ahead and impeach a judge if it wants, and judiciary can't do anything about it. But as Thomas Jefferson said, that's a bungling way of really trying to restrain the judiciary. The most powerful way is the way the president can do. And a lot of legal scholars hate when I bring this up, but they begrudgingly acknowledge it. It is a check. Now, he's not a king, so he can be subjected to a check as well. If it turns out people think that, oh, well, this guy is just run roughshod over otherwise legitimate judicial review or legitimately judicially reviewable subjects. So the House can impeach and send it over to the Senate for an expulsion. But if at the Senate they fail to reach the two-thirds votes required to stop him, well, then by default, Trump will have won that separation of powers argument. And whatever his conduct was or whatever his decision was, they shall stand. And he will have successfully repelled the judiciary from imposing their will on him. And it will not be lawless. It will be constitutional. And therefore, by definition, could not be lawless. Anyway, I understand we have old friend of the show rejoining us right now, and glad to have him back. None other than Dennis Neal, award-winning journalist, media strategist, former CNBC and Fox business anchor. He's also host of the What's Bugging Me podcast, hosted by the Ricochet Network. Dennis, glad you could join us again. Thanks so much.
Yes, yes. Well, the extraordinary what's been going on with Elon, right? Now, we were talking about whether it might all be staged. What's your over-under on that, or your betting odds on that?
I'm thinking it just may have been staged and quite easily, but then again, that would be sort of wishful thinking. I realize a lot of folks who are fans of Trump like to say he's playing three-dimensional chess when everybody else is preoccupied with checkers. But even for Trump, I think this would be, a carnival act too far. But hey, I could be wrong. What I do believe is that it's still working out for him as well as if it had been planned. But there are folks who want this to go away because, yes, again, it hurts Musk more than Trump, but it really benefits neither in the long run. Let's have a listen to an exchange from Fox News' The Five with Greg Gutfeld. This is how he weighed in on it. Clip 8. James, if you please.
Well, I think what you're seeing is a battle between the purist and the pragmatist. I don't like it. I want it to stop. I want to tell them if they're both watching, knock it off. We're done with this. This is an incredible moment for our country. It's awake. It's optimistic. It's on board with the golden age. Don't sabotage it with a self-inflicted feud.
Okay, let it go there then. Thanks, James. We'll let it go there because I'm looking at the clock. I agree with you. It may have been staged, but I don't think it was. But let's assume whichever way it's going, it's still hurting Musk more than Trump. You would concur, yes?
Yes, it certainly is. It's hurting everybody, but enough already. And you know, when Elon goes into demon mode, he's a monster. He takes no prisoners. He just can't do that to the president of the United States. And so Trump had to smack him down, and I think he has. I've been, monitoring his feed on X, Musk, and he hasn't put up anything incendiary in what, 10 or 12 hours, it seems like? Okay, well, let's hold our breath. But enough already. How can this be productive for anyone? And yet, what if he manages to get cuts made? Anyway, for what it's worth, thanks so much.
Well, he also apparently is taking some advice. He does an about-face on his SpaceX threat. And also it appears that, emissaries from the camps of both guys are apparently going to be meeting and trying to hammer it out and soften the edges. And with a bit of luck, it'll all be in a rearview mirror sooner than later. As it is, right. Musk has already lost $34 billion thanks to this feud. I mean, I realize to him that's just pin money, but I think he'd prefer not to lose any more. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.